I've just got a couple of things I need to say. And I said most of it during the 4 weeks that Pastor was gone. And you already know that I'm not one that comforts the afflicted. I afflict the comfortable. You already know that. Glory to God. But there's an anointing that is on this body of believers that is more and more evident. Every time I come here, it's more and more. I've seen it in the spirit, and I'm beginning to see it in the reality. And there's a spirit, the Holy Spirit, there's an anointing that Holy Spirit is releasing to every one of you. And it starts first with, you'll never rise above your leadership. And there's an elevation that God's given. You see, this foot washing was not a coincidence, it's a God sequence. Because Jesus, when he washed the feet of those disciples, he came down to their level. And then he made them alive together in him. He raised them up. He went down to their level so he could raise them up to be seated together in heavenly places in him. And there's a spiritual elevation that God's bringing to First Assembly. Seeing with the eyes of Jesus. Do this for me. Turn to your neighbor and say, did you know that God's address is you? He lives in you. You're the temple of Holy Spirit. You're the house of God. You're his dwelling place. And when Jesus talked about the mansion in John chapter 14, you're the mansion. He went to the cross. He's prepared a place for you. Holy Spirit came and dwells in you. The Trinity dwells in you. You're the mansion of God. And the more you begin to understand who Christ is in you and who you are in him, that you're in partnership one with another, you will see the reality of the apostolic anointing that has been placed on this fellowship on the west side of Indiana, just as higher praise on the east side. We've got it bracketed, folks. And the river's going to begin to flow from both directions into a mighty tributary of Holy Spirit. A release of a tsunami, yes. So, Father, today, we declare that we are the temple of Holy Spirit. The Trinity lives within us. That we are of one accord, in agreement, and holy imagination is coming to us. And whatever we can imagine, we can have, because it creates a vision. And we begin to call that into being, and we declare it so today in the hearts of every people here, that you have to see with your heart before you can see with your eyes. And when you see with your heart, you can have the reality. God has held nothing back from us, and we are declaring it so right now, that there's an overflow of Holy Spirit flowing from us, a mighty tributary, a mighty river flowing as we gather together. And may truth invade Connersville, Indiana, just like is invading Crawfordsville. A flow, an overflow. Flood this place. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's give the Lord a praise offering all over the house. Let's do it. Thank God. I want us to give a really warm First Assembly welcome to Richie and Stacy Ware. Let's do that today.
Before I go any further, my wife was going to sing a song before I get up and preach. We've been doing this for years. We've been doing it for a long time.
That's why I'm safe. virgin. I can't find no place to rest. He shall hide me. Said I'm so glad that Jesus came and he took my hand and he pulled me out of the fiery furnace because my God shall hide me. Said I'm so glad, I'm glad he shall hide. Oh, my God will hide me. I'm so
God, I'm so glad to be here with you. Hope we got a good word for you today. I believe God's got something for you. Anthony it is, right? Amen. God told me he's going to shift you a little bit. He's growing you. Amen. God said he's bringing you to a place to grow you. Amen. So God says, go ahead. Amen. God says you have big hands for a reason. I don't know what that means. I don't know what you haven't examined your hands, but God's preparing you. He's training you. He's training you. Amen. For some, I don't know what that is, but God's going to be really using you. Amen. I called Pastor Kane. I told him about what we're doing at the worship center. And I said, you know, I was kind of going to go that direction. What do you think? I mean, what is your pacing for the church up here? And what's going on? You know, let me know. And then he graced me with his wisdom. And he didn't call me back. So so then I text him. And I said, you get my message? He goes, oh, yeah, it's cool. So I know we're going in the right direction here. And what I want to talk to you today is about lining up spiritually. Lining up spiritually. And what you perceive that is and what you think that is. And I guarantee you the church isn't what you think it looks like. The church isn't what you think it looks like. And that's why your aim is off. You keep saying, you know, I'm shooting this arrow, but I ain't hitting anything, because your aim's off, because you're not aiming for what the true church is. Amen. And how many people find yourself, you ain't so much arguing with the devil and even arguing with God. Sometimes you're arguing with yourself. Amen. You ever find yourself arguing with yourself and you're hoping that, you know, people driving by see me in my car. I hope you think I'm talking on the phone, but I ain't, because I'm talking to myself. Talking about, why'd you do that? Yeah, I know I shouldn't have went there. I did this. Flesh, why don't you come into subjection? I'm fasting today, flesh. You got to come into subjection. Amen. You're doing all that, and some of you got the grandbabies in the back seat, and they're looking at you like this because they're scared. You talking to yourself, grandbaby, going, grandma done lost it now. Amen. But you're sitting there, and you have an argument. But wouldn't you love to know that that's scriptural? That's scriptural. You don't need to up your milligrams on your meds. You just need to know it's scriptural. Amen. And I'm going to show you where that is. Let's go to Romans 7. Verse 15, and I want to show you a little kind of self-argument, and I'm going to try to illustrate a couple things to you. It says, Romans 7, starting at verse 15, it says, for what I am doing, I do not understand. Everybody has to think, I don't even know why I did that. You're like, I don't know what I did. You know, that's why when some of y'all find stuff in the refrigerator ain't supposed to be there, you know, why is the fabric soft in the refrigerator? I don't even know why I did that. You know, you got eggs, you got the eggs up on the shelf. Well, see, you know, it's scriptural. Amen? Because Paul's talking about it. And 15, for what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. Now, If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that's in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. Can someone say confused? Have you ever been confused? Verse 19, for the good that I will to do, that I do not do. You understand, we're in trouble. This is Paul who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, and he's struggling with doing good. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Amen. Do Christians still have a sinful nature? Absolutely. I find then a law that evil is present with me. Now, I'm going to show you an illustration how that's not what you think it is. Some of you think that there's a little devil following you around that is a sign to you. You got a guardian angel and you get a little devil. And he's the one that trips you up on flat ground. Amen. But that's not totally accurate. Okay. Now, I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. Everybody say inward man. Amen. 23, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and it brings me into captivity to the laws of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself will serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Oh my goodness, there's a battle going on. Even in the best of us, even in the ones who are called according to their purpose, it is a battle. That's why this Christian walk is a walk. It is a daily, daily grind. Amen. Just because you say you haven't arrived yet from being on your P's and Q's, from what the devil is trying to throw at you and what he's trying to snare you with. But we must understand that in us, even in all of us who will to do right, there is still that thing that wills to do wrong. That's why the Bible says, take thy cross up and walk with it daily. That's why the Bible says, crucify the flesh daily. Amen. This is what I want you to know. Remember when I said there's something following you around, and some of you think it's maybe this is little demon following you around. Everything. It's not a little demon. It's you. It's you. It's your flesh. It goes everywhere you go. And there's nothing good in it. Your flesh goes everywhere you go. You drag this little hellion with you. And it ain't your grandbabies. You drag them with you wherever you go. If you show up, that little naysayer show up with you. Amen. It's like the thing of the two wolves. Who wins that day? The flesh or the spirit, which one did you feed that day? Which one did you feed that day? If you feed your flesh and all your anxiety and all that stuff like that, guess what? Your flesh won that day. Hey, man, can I just throw this out here? You don't love you. Your flesh don't love you. Your flesh is a mercy. You don't love you. Christ loved you. Before, when you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. But he did not die for your flesh. Go all through the Bible. No flesh can inherit the kingdom of God. There's nothing good that lies in flesh. Flesh is the enemy. It goes on and on and on. It talks about how you had to get out the flesh and get into the spirit. He didn't die for you. Not for your flesh. Now, before you get all tricked out and go meet with the elders talking about how you going to have a guy come up here preaching to me that Jesus, no, he died for you. Who you really are. He just didn't die for your flesh. Amen? Now, once you understand that, you're going to understand your target better. Okay? Now, I didn't tell some brothers, I'm going to have them come up. I'm going to do a little illustration. Anthony, you come help me. And Wade, you come and help me. Pastor Ken, you come on and help me. Okay? Now, Anthony's going to be flesh. Because he got big head and big hands. He's going to be flesh. Wade's going to be the soul man. And he's going to be the spirit man. Amen. So I need you to stand right over here because you're not in this right now.
All right.
Before I go further, let's go to Genesis. Genesis 2, verse 7. Okay. Genesis 2, verse 7 says this. And the Lord God formed man of the dust and of the ground and breathed into him his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. King James says he became a living soul. Some say he became a living spirit, but it's goodbye. He became a soul. He became a living soul. So here it is. This is my flesh. We formed it up. I breathed, and Wade came. It's his soul. Soul man. Okay. Now, first, I want to ask you this. Was the body created for the soul, or was the soul created for the body? This was valuable. He needed a container. Not that this was valuable and he needed to fill it. Do you see what I'm saying? So here we have this. So he formed him because to be legal, see, there's laws. To be legal here, he has to have a body, right? So before he put his soul, which is God's created our image, he breathed the breath of God. The breath of God became a living soul. And this is the house that he put him in. He put him in a clay house. Now, what's important to clay house? Right now, this is your basic consciousness. So I have this down. I want to show you this. This is your world consciousness. This lets you know if it's hot, if it's cold. Let you know if the water's wet. Let you know if somebody hits you. You say, oh, that hurt. This makes you world conscious because he built a world. I think last time I was here, I preached to you on time. Last time I was here, he did this. Okay, so this is consciousness. And then Wade came up. This is what he breathed in him. Now, right now, this is self-consciousness. This makes you self-aware. This has your personality and what you are. This is what you give to God in worship. This is everything who you really are. And I know it freaks you out, but Jesus didn't die for this. He died for this. Okay? Now, when you're going through the wilderness, when he led the people out of Egypt, everybody remember that? Y'all seen the movie. Y'all don't read that. Y'all see the movie in the cartoon. Prince Egypt, okay? And so it said that they followed this pillar of fire out with the Holy Ghost, right? So now it says, because Jesus came, he says, no more said you thought, but I should write on your heart, it should be in you. Okay? So here we go. Anthony in the flesh. So Anthony right there, this right here tries to influence this. All right, so there he kind of puts his arm around him, spirit, and he's telling him, okay, you know what would feel good? What would feel good if I could get some money I didn't work for? And his soul's like, what? He says, so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to rip these people off. Okay, he goes, you know what would feel good? Three more hamburgers. So now we see the flesh influencing the soul. You got me? So before you saved, everyone's like this. Everyone's like this. Because now your soul figures his number one function and his purpose for living is to please the flesh. That's what your soul thinks. Now, step in that all of a sudden he's tired of being second fiddle and all of a sudden you have in there and he catch you at a good moment. You know, saw TV, you saw word on TV. You done been behind a car that says, are you saved on the bumper sticker? You know that bumper sticker isn't for him, it's for him. That Christian t-shirt isn't for him, it's for your soul. So we put all those things to bypass your flesh, hoping your soul would get a glimpse of it. So finally his soul says, Jesus. So this kind of drags him to church, and he going against everything because do you know why you cry at church? Because the Holy Spirit was so good. No, your flesh is crying because it's losing. Don't go to Jesus. Your flesh is crying because it's losing, right? So now, what comes, and then he gets saved, and along comes pastor. See? Now, pastor wraps his arm around the soul. And the Bible clearly says that my spirit bears record to his spirit that we are the sons of God, right? So now, this is what it looks like. Remember how I said the church doesn't look what you think it looks like? You think the church looks like this. The church is this. So while you keep aiming to get more flesh in the seats, this is who you should be aiming for. Yes.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? So what you do is when you witness to somebody, sometimes this is all background noise. Sometimes I've been to people, I said, look, right now I ain't speaking to your head, I'm going to speak to your heart right now. Because it doesn't matter what he says, how he rebuffs you, he's listening. Yes. And see, each one of you was so at that time until you're like, well, I can't wrap my head around it. Well, don't wrap your head around it. I ain't talking to you anyway. I'm talking to him right here. And see, this is who you are. And see, right now, this is world consciousness, self-conscious, and this is God conscious. So now, to become more spiritual, when you become more spiritual, now your soul wraps your arm around your flesh instead of the other way around. And now your soul starts to influence what your flesh does because the spirit got his arm wrapped around there. And so now what happened is this one makes this one fast.
Yeah.
Why you call me on a fast? You know Thanksgiving around the corner.
Yeah.
I got to taste them yeast rolls and then yam and everything. Right now, this one will make him give that $20 back he found. He's like, oh. I knew $20. This one is nudging. Anybody lose $20? $20. Because you know what this is called? Discipling. We're going to have to disciple them to speak louder to him. So when you go through discipling is, a lot of things about discipling should be, how do I quiet my flesh? Because he is mandatorily going to do what he's supposed to do because he's being guided by the Spirit of God. Okay, can I show you something else here? He ain't anointed. He is. If he's walking through praying for people and they're getting healed, it's not this. It's because this has moved and he ain't nothing but a pipe. And it comes through him. He ain't got the healing hands. He does. That's why when you get that out of your mindset that I got to do this, I got to do this, you automatically have it. Like Brother Wade said, you already set with anointing. You already set in spiritual things. You got to shut him up so you can move it. Do you hear what I'm saying? He ain't got the word. He got the word. What we tell people worship sin is, witness to the person next to you, not who looks like you. Because it doesn't matter what they look like. And see, let me tell you this. Why are you so worried about his tattoos and his piercings, which means zero? It's him. He ain't got no tattoos or piercings.
Amen.
He don't. Amen. And then while we're trying to be all prejudiced and say, you know, Hispanics can't go, blacks can't go, Asians can't go, white, we're all like this, he ain't got no place in heaven. This is where all the melanin is. This is the one that goes.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying? Why are you hating on the glaze that they put on the pot?
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Now we might say, well, he don't really look sanctified. You don't know what sanctified look like. You have never ever really seen sanctification. You have experienced it. Sanctified means being set apart for a particular purpose. Everyone's soul is set apart for a particular purpose. Now, let me show you one thing. As we know that flesh is not saved, and as we know this too, is you all remember the, see, because we're thinking, okay, we're never going to make it here. We're never going to get the church prepared. You know how when God says, I'm coming for a church without spot and wrinkle? You know, the age spot and wrinkles. Which one of these wrinkles and get age spots? He ain't coming back for him anyway. This is the church. Even though you may have wrinkles and spots and think, oh, God, our church ain't ready to go. You staying behind anyway. This is what doesn't have wrinkles or spots. Do you see what I'm saying? So it's who we are on the inside. Because you might say, you know, I'll come back to church with spot or wrinkles. So we try to think, okay, I need to will myself to do right. I want to be 100% like Jesus. I want to not sin. Yes, but that ain't going to happen because you carry him with you. See, he is a mercenary for hire. He is. Each one of you are. Because the world plays to him and he wants to drag them any place. See, if you don't like where you are in your life, your flesh got you there. If you want to change where you are in your life, you first must change your mind. Because where your mind thinks, that's where your booty follow. Wife said, I can't take butt no more, so I said booty. She's so proud. Amen. So where your mind is, that's where you are. So you don't like where you are, change your mind. Listen, nothing's going to change unless something changes. Amen. So you want to be at a different place in God. You want to be at a different level in God. You have to first start thinking different. And first, you must understand all this stuff that you're mad about. This don't go. This don't go. You say, Pastor, I need more scripture. That's why he's going to give you a new one of these. It's called glorified body. You're going to ditch this. Amen. And he's going to give you a glorified body. Because this is not your permanent position. Listen, this is where you are now, but this is not where you're going to be. You see what I'm saying? See, people don't know how glorious and mighty you are on the inside. Put it this way. People may not know how mighty and glorious you are inside. Matter of fact, you don't even know. Because some of you have lost that. And you really don't know where it is that you're going because you're on Facebook and you're mad. And you got to use filters on your pictures. And it's bad because your flesh is letting you down. Hey, man, you ain't got to look. Look straight ahead. No, look straight ahead. And he says, now because we have come into a culture of selfies, and now plastic surgery has skyrocketed. It has. They can go up from Facebook up. And because now we look at ourselves all the time. How did they have a new thing on Facebook? How did age hit you from your first Facebook picture to where you are now? I didn't even do it because I knew I was hitting the face like with a stone. Got all this gray. I knew it was bad. But we have to understand that this isn't all there is. Sometimes stuff that doesn't, when stuff doesn't feel good to your flesh, it's okay. That's what the Bible says. It clearly talks about all through the scripture. Don't go on your feelings. Go on a fact. This is what fills the world around you. This is your world consciousness. But I just feel. That's why your feelings hurt all the time, because you feel. Instead of follow. Do you know how many people must have been offended coming out of Egypt? You know, people looking at them, crossing their eyes, Egyptians, and you, because, you know, I would be mad too. They take the gold. Thank you very much. The Bible says when he took him out of Egypt, people gave him gold and silver, paying him to leave. I tell you, they got paid their wages for 400 years of slavery. And so they got carts of gold coming out, people looking at them like this. Now, in the days, like, did you see the way they looked at me? I served her faithful for 60 years. She looked at me like I'm crazy. Going on there. Imagine if the church was like that today. I mean, half of y'all just sit home. Oh, did you see the way they looked at me? See, we can't be so much in our flesh that we can't get ministered to. I'm telling you, ministering to get really deep ministered to, listen to me, there's always a rebuke involved. You haven't read the seven churches where Jesus talked about what he likes and he says, but this is what I got against you. He was trying to perfect them. If you want someone to minister to you and never say anything to you about what you lack, then you don't want ministry. You got to be willing to tell somebody. I ain't saying to love them. I say, you know, the problem is you ain't anointed like you used to and you're short. No, I don't mean that. I mean, where he says, you know, brother, I hate to tell you, I know you think this is a good part, but you're supposed to minister to the lost, not hang out with the lost. Amen. And you're like, what do you mean? I'm not snooty. Well, you're not snooty, but you're not effective either. Amen. Look, y'all starting to give me that look, okay? But we really need to understand. Now, I want to move you on to my next part, and I still need these guys for help. It's something we did at the church, and I want to show you this. You're going to hold the red one, and then you guys are going to hold this one. And then we're going to do double dutch. What we going to do? Here you go. Now, I'm going to take you to another scripture, but I'm going to show you something before I do this. I'd like to illustrate with a bunch of scriptures. Let's go to Job 14, 1 and 2. I want to show you something. Job 14, verse 1 and 2. It says, a man is born of a woman, is of a few days, and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue. Okay. So here we have Wade's timeline. This is your life. This is your dash on your tombstone. You know, from the day you were born, that little dash is your life. And then the day you died. Okay, this is your thing. It says, man is born of a woman full of trouble. Means Wade, no matter what he did, is born into sin because of the downfall of man. You got that right? So that means, not just Wade, that means all y'all. That means your little grandbabies, little sinners. And so, this is it. Now, when you're born into sin, he has a trajectory in his life. And the Bible says man is born and then die once and then the judgment. So when you're without Christ, you're born and you're on a highway to hell. It doesn't mean that you say, well, how can babies, they haven't done anything. You know, God makes allowances. You know, he hasn't lost a baby. But I'm saying, but once you're here and you're on this timeline, your seed is corrupted before it came out. You know how a woman says a woman should still be saved during childbirth? Remember, I think I talked about it last time. Woman should be saved during childbirth. You said, well, what does that mean? It's like where she can give birth to a sinner and she's still saved. That means she's there and she's pregnated and her seed is corrupt because of Adam and Eve. And she still births out of sinner, but her soul still set apart and saved. All right? So she'll still be saved during childbirth. So we're looking at this, right? So we got this timeline, and this timeline is nothing but going to hell. Nothing they can do about it on his own. And a lot of this timeline, I said, it has a bunch of ups and downs in it and stuff like this, because this is who we are. On this timeline, it's selfishness, it's hurt. See, in his timeline, there's marked certain things because we're in a sinful world. There might be abuse, sexual abuse. There might be anger. There might be divorce. There might be the death of loved ones in between, being rejected. All this is on this timeline. It's a rough timeline. Such as yours. Maybe there's addiction on your timeline or accidents are unpreventable. And you say, you know, none of this basically is my fault, but it's the timeline that we're on because, you know, Eve is called woman, which means life giver. It changed after the downfall because it says because she gives all life. So that now we weren't conceived in the likeness of God. We were conceived in the likeness of Adam. See, God created man in his own image, which was Adam and Eve. But in the downfall, Adam became lesser. And then now from that point in birthing, we were birthed out of a downfalling Eve and a downfalling Adam. And we were in their image. And then you go further. And then when the man was all wiped out, and then you got to Noah. And then we were in the image of the sons of Noah. So we're in the image of fallen man, each and every one of us. But God has made a way of redempting man. So here we go. So we have the flesh over here, you know, and he's waiting his destination because your flesh wants to run this race. That's the line. That's what we do here. And so the ups and downs is how culture changes. Your flesh wants to run it. I won't be politically correct. There's like 60-some different genders now and then pronouns. And now they want grown people to go in the bathroom with kids, all this other different stuff. You're okay, well, he's running this line because that's the popular thing to do because that's politically correct. He runs all this line, all these different culture things. He wants to do that. Okay? So the father so doesn't know what to follow. But then when God intervenes, now, he comes to a service, or he's getting witnessed to. That's why God sends us. Because after I get done, maybe you will see the importance of your callings. That none of your callings is a throwaway. Amen. Every time you speak to somebody, it's important. But until you understand the condition of man, you won't understand the importance of why God has called you. And then he comes over, and then he tags this red line right in between these two right here. And then you come out this way. What this red line represents is the blood. This is the line that you were born into. This is what happens when you get saved. Now what happens is he drops this, and now this becomes the line. See, the line that was made into sin has now become a bloodline. So now it has taken the place of your flesh line, and now he has a bloodline, and now you're living in the will of God. Now you're living on what God is calling you to do. Something like this. But without your witness, it's this line. It's this line. And so what happens is, you know what a backsliding Christian looks like? He tries to twist it on here because now he tries to maybe apply a little worldliness to his word. You see people want to use scripture and cuss at the same time? And they tell you about scripture, why they drunk themselves. See, you little fallen there, the bloodline's still there, but you're making it murky. You're not good because the devil says, if I can corrupt it, I make you unuseful. But now when the church says, are there any backsliders or any people who haven't come out of it, that means he wants to untangle you and put you back into grace and right standings with God. Because you have to understand, to go forward and to just fill this place with souls. One, understand what the church really is. It's the soul and the spirit, man, not the flesh. The flesh is going to let you down, get you mad like a he just ain't get it. Quit trying to get the flesh saved. get his soul saved. Amen. And it says, in John, it says, darkness cannot comprehend the light, nor can it. Right? So quit trying to get somebody's flesh to comprehend something spirit. Speak to their spirit. See, what happens right now, when you're walking with Jesus, it's more of your spirit speaking than it is your flesh. Or at least it should be. That's why your flesh don't want to get up and come to church in the morning. Some of y'all, you find out you had come a half an hour early, your flesh is like, okay, right. Dude, we had an agreement. 11 was the time. That ain't your spirit. That's your flesh. That's your flesh. You need to learn the voice of your flesh. Amen. And then your spirit is forever wanting to learn, because the more your spirit learns, the more freedom. See, because right now, he's packed with all kind of anointing you ain't used in years. Sometimes when you say, man, you need to go pray with him. Your flesh, I don't even know that. Is it don't matter? God has told me that. I done told you I ain't laying hands on folks I don't know. He says, no, we don't lay hands on people. So that's what scripture says. But we need to go and talk to him. I don't know. Look, there they go. And all of a sudden, God pushes them. Hey, sir, how you doing? See, I told you she needs you to say a word. The more you get this into lining up with this, the more your anointing comes out. The more what God is doing when you lay it on hands, the more words that come in. You guys are filled with words and prophecies and dreams and stuff. You know, when God speaks to you in dreams, it's because he is asleep. Because he is asleep. Some of y'all, that's all God can do is speak to you in dreams, because he is asleep. He's like, okay, now, listen. While you're asleep, this is what we're going to do. And then when you wake up, he's mad because he don't want to write it down. He's like, I don't even remember it. Let me write it down. And it's funny how when you get your flesh calm, and that's what the Bible says, meditate on God. Yes. Your flesh doesn't meditate, he does. It says meditate on God, because God wants to bring those things back to remembrance that he has told you. But I'm telling you right now, calm the flesh, crucify the flesh. Yes. Thank you guys, I appreciate it. We're looking at this from a Christian point of view as how do we go forth in power and might and anointing. The people who you consider powerful, the people you consider underneath the anointing, the people that you consider moving in the things of God, they just walk in less flesh. That's all. I didn't say they don't walk in flesh. I said they walk in less flesh at certain times. That's what the Bible clearly says. You know, you got a faith of a mustard seed. You know, they keep talking about that mustard seed. Let me tell you this. Peter walked on water. Peter walked on water. Some people say Peter didn't walk on water. Some people say Peter walked on the word. Because Jesus said, come. And what he walked on was the command to come instead of the water. You know what I'm saying? God's word. But one thing I can tell you that Peter did. Peter walked with a mustard seed faith to get out the boat. Peter's never seen it done before Christ came. Peter didn't know anybody who did it. See, Peter's spirit said, you know, I bet you, if that's him, tell you to walk. He ain't going to tell you to walk. He said, walk. He said, okay. And it was a mustard seed faith, because once he took his eye off his goal, he sinked. Once you take your eyes off of Jesus, church, once you take your eyes off your goal, you'll sink. But Jesus is always there to catch you. It's not going to be a permanent sink to the bottom. He says, okay, you have a little faith, put you back up, or let's start it again. A little thing you got to understand is given to everybody liberally. You know, those who ask for wisdom and knowledge, ask, and it should be given unto you. Do you know why there's not more people who aren't asking for more wisdom and knowledge in church? Do you know why there's not more people asking for that? Because it ain't sexy. It's not showy. But you will be able to lead more people and go into more depths with wisdom and knowledge. For example, that's why he was so impressed when Solomon asked for wisdom and knowledge to rule his people. He didn't ask for showy. He goes, you didn't ask for your enemies, and you didn't ask for all this ton of silver and gold. You asked for wisdom to rule well. And God says, because you asked for wisdom, I will give you silver and gold and your enemies. See, the king didn't ask to be more showy. He asked to be deeper. Amen. So I'm asking you, are you asking to be deeper? Because we got enough shallow people outside. We don't need any more shallow people inside. That wouldn't be a public pool. You got a shallow end, you got a deep end. Now, how many of y'all would go to the pool, the whole pool was shallow? See, there's a gradual place for it. But there's no diving at the shallow end. Because diving at the shallow end will what? It'll kill you. So some people who try to dive, I'm going to dive in this, and you're so shallow, and people coming up hurt with Christians, hurt. And a lot of times why some Christians hurt other Christians, because they just ain't deep enough to know better. Shallow Christians will hurt other people. We've all been in the shallow end. So I want to say, we've all been in the shallow end. We've all said stuff like, oh, you know. But the more deeper we get, the more cushion the dive, the more cushion the fall. See what I'm saying? And so we're able to actually lead people, teach people, show them what God is doing. And this is what I see Pastor Kane leading you guys through this gate. Don't despise the preparation. And that's what you've been through all this time, the preparation. Now it's time to hit the ground running. And what God is going to do is going to be miraculous in your sight. But to get on one accord, the devil wants you to make you think it's impossible. To get on one accord isn't to get everybody's flesh on one accord. It's to get everybody's spirit on the same track. Amen. It's okay when you're taking on one accord. It's okay to say, you know, brother, I really don't see it happening, but I'm in. You see what I'm saying? I don't understand how this is going to happen, but there's something inside me that believes it's the way we go. I don't understand it happening. It's okay to be honest, because your flesh may not see it. 9 times out of 10, your flesh doesn't see it. Most people don't get on the wagon until it starts moving. Amen. It takes a couple to push, and everybody like, ooh, it does roll. Let me get on. Amen. You're like, man, this is going to roll. I don't think it's going to roll. It's going to roll. I ain't been here in 13 years, and I ain't seen it roll. I'm telling you it's going to roll. I was going to push, but then Rodney said don't push. So me and Rodney sitting there, and we're back and looking at it, talking about, sucking a lollipop, talking about it. I don't think it's going to roll. All of a sudden, here comes somebody new that doesn't know the history of the stagnation, does not know the trouble and how long it's been there. So here you get Tom coming like, what y'all doing? Watching that, and Tom just like push it because no one told him he couldn't. So he pushes the cart, and the other two go, told you to roll. It rolls. And then everybody who's been there for years, now they want to ride because the new guy pushed it. Because he or she's not limited by the stories of those who pre-came about the failure of what couldn't happen. I'm trying to tell you, this baby's going to roll. This baby's going to roll. I don't care how many times you pushed it. There's been some rain, some precipitation since then. The ground's harder. It's smoothed out. Now it's time to roll. And it's not just the church. It's your own personal life. Some of you have had problems in your life from generations. You got it from your mama, your daddy, whatever, from generations. And you said, I don't think I can get that out of my life. I'm telling you, it'll roll. It'll roll. I'm telling you, it'll roll. I mean, the Bible says if you had a faithful mustard seed and you tell a mulberry bush to come up and be planted in the seed, it would obey you. I really don't have a desire to replant mulberry bushes. But I'll move something out of my life that's grown. And listen, what's so awesome is you don't need the pastor to come and do a seance in your house. Amen. To get it out. He says, you need to speak the word. You call pastor, pastor, what I do? This happened in my life. He says, have you spoke to it yet? Amen. What you mean? Speak to it. You are powerful. You a member of my church. You powerful. You know the anointing. We preach that. Now, I need you to stand up like you got some sense in you. Stand up and say, be gone in the name of Jesus. Amen. And the pastor said, now call me when it's gone. Amen. People are on the line talking about what he talking about. What he say? He said, time to get out. Amen. And then he bring up, he said, is it gone yet? Yep, pastor's left. That's what I tell you. Now tell the rest of your family, do the same thing. And then, yep, come back and tell us about it. We have to testify. Yeah. Yes. I'm trying to tell you, you guys need to exercise. Yes. Exercise this spirit man that is within you. Because you have been blessed beyond measure to do what God says do. Amen. Amen. I'm going to turn over the pastor for all the call time.
Bow your heads, close your eyes, if you would please. It goes without saying today that we've been in the school of discipleship of the Holy Ghost. You may be here today.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lost. Maybe your flesh doesn't feel that way, but down deep on the inside, the deepest part of your being, you know you're not where you need to be with the Lord. And today you want to say, I want to get my flesh out of the way. I want to elevate what the Spirit is saying within me. I want to turn over the ownership of the direction of my life to the direction of God within me. Heavenly Father, by the power of the Holy Ghost, I thank you today for what you've said to us in this service. The richness of this word has challenged everyone in the house. And there are people in this room today that as I want to turn over the ownership, the direction of my, I'm tired of allowing my flesh to beat me to a pulp and live by its dictates, never satisfied, never arriving at what it promises, always difficult and challenging and beat up and wounded. I want today to allow Jesus to sit in the driver's seat of my heart. I want my soul and spirit to become completely submitted to what it is that he would want for me and mine. Father, I pray for every hand that was lifted in this house. And there's so many in this house. And I want to do that today. Father, help them to do that. As they come to the ticketing counter, they are saying today, I am putting Jesus in charge of every part of my soul and spirit. And my flesh is going to have to fall into line. So help me, God. Father, I pray that you'll help us to make those decisions. When you change your heart, you change your mind, you change your life. And today people are changing their minds about where they are and where they've been. Father, we thank you for the bloodline that forever transforms us. That's where Paul would say, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ now live within me. In the life I live in the flesh, I now live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We thank you for this great day of transformation in this house. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for every person in the house. Do only what you can do in and of their heart, those that have lifted their hand, those that have responded to your word. Now today's the day where they're going to put you in charge and tell the flesh where it's going to go and what it's going to do, how it's going to feel, how it's going to believe. We thank you for that. Father, we praise you for that. Thank you for what you're doing here. And thank you for what you're going to continue to do and how we're going to be so different from this moment forward. Hallelujah. Glory to the name of Jesus Christ forevermore. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. 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 And everybody in this house that's going to leave this service different, shout hallelujah in the place today.